Welcome to Shenanigans. Hey, it's Aisha.
Hey, y'all, it's Jenny.
Yo, baby, what's up? It's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be. Featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I like how everybody bust out in a song, but it wasn't the same song.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Ain't that Mace?
Yep. You know you like that.
I miss
Do you really?
To Mace, kind of.
You miss Mace?
I like Mace. It's like a song. I forgot what the song is, but it's a. I think it's that song, but it's like a real popular.
You make me feel so good. You know you make me feel so good. You know you make me feel so good. Bad, 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 bad boy. I wouldn't change you if I could. I wouldn't change you if I could. I wouldn't change you if I could. I did like Mace.
Mace like the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't sound so crazy.
Yeah. Hey. I love that music video. Me too. That was such a good song. Welcome to Shenanigans. I kind of just took over this intro.
You did. Go on, do your thing, Shawty. Get it in.
You know, whatever. If you just.
Oh, here comes Cardi.
Here comes Cardi.
Cardi.
You know me, Cardi B.
Oh. Oh my God, you sound like her.
Oh, no.
I was not
trying
prepared.
To get this money.
I was not prepared. Okay.
Well, you know, recap our last episode. We had our very first guest. On the podcast.
India.
We had India. Go check out all the things that she's doing because she's doing a lot of good things in the city of Indy related to her marriage. We talked about that and, you know, sexuality. Mm-hmm. We talked about seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
How to date yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, how to have a healthy breakup. Well, how to transition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Into a healthy breakup.
Yep.
So we just about to jump right back into this episode with a lovely icebreaker. The icebreaker today is, if you were a real housewife, what would your tagline be? You want me to tell mine?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Listen carefully. You ready?
Lord.
Listen to this.
I shouldn't have let you go first. Go ahead.
What I lack in the back, I pack in the cat.
Oh, my.
I cannot.
Gosh.
That would be my tagline.
Mine is not that great.
I'm like.
That makes me think about that damn gif you
right,
shared.
Right, that's what I was just thinking about Twitter. Oh, the Evelyn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. My goodness.
The Evelyn. Somebody said, I really want to know, what did you type in to get this? And I literally just typed in, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Evelyn. That was it. And it's not even on Twitter. Like, it's on my phone. Well, and I saved it to my phone because I'm like, I'm going to need this, you know, for later purposes. So I'll tweet it out so y'all know which gift she is talking about. But yes.
It's a hot ass mess.
What I lack in
the
back.
You got to put that with
it,
though.
Yeah, what I lack in the back, I pack in the cat.
Yes, we all got to find gifts for
all. Yes, okay. We do.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, what's yours, Aisha?
Mine's basic.
What?
Just say it.
Mine is,
because I've been saying this a lot. Realign my chakras, baby.
Chris Brown.
More ways than one.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. Breezy said it in a song.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, I don't think I got the memo like this. I'll just say mine. I think that I misunderstood.
The stress, Jennifer.
No, I don't want to say it.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay, so I'll just say it because I think, okay,
we don't need context.
No, just say it.
I'll just say it. So that has everything to do with them and nothing to do with me.
That's a good one. one. That's okay. A good one. That's what they would say. Okay. That's something that they would say on The Real Housewives.
Because that's what that would be me. I'm not here for the drama. That's everything to do with them, nothing to do with me.
Bam. Oh, I'm going to find you a good gift for that. Okay. Anytime I hear Real on my chakras, even though this is not that song, I start singing Heat by Chris Brown.
Oh, I love that song.
You like it, would you leave?
Up in that and shit.
Everything designer that's on me. Ay.
I listen to that song like at least twice a day.
Looking like you, just trying to fuck. Y'all, I watch that video so much. I'm like,
I've not seen
a
video. I need to see it.
What?
I've not seen it.
A new, but I listened to the song choreography
completely. He is shimmying.
He throwing bows.
He is liquid shoulders.
That song, I mean, it's just woo. It gets you look good.
Woo! I feel like I'm hitting one of those. On my phone. Girl, I watch it regularly. If I pull YouTube up on my TV, Heat gonna be the first thing that I watch. I also say this so random, not his song. This is a no guidance, but baby in a bag and a Birkin. I say that line randomly. Hilarious. Like in the elevator, like it'll be real quiet. Wow. I send it as an audio clip to my friends and they iMessages random. I sing it all the time. That's my favorite part.
That's funny.
Okay. Y'all had some good taglines. If you were Real Housewife listeners, what would your tagline be? Let us know at shenanigans_pod on Twitter. Follow us on the Instagram. Because we got a page and it's about to be popping.
Yes.
So we going to move right along to this hot topic. Mm. It's not as funny today, but you know, we always find a way to laugh. Right. Whatever. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about like mental health and dating. And specifically like your mental health and then their mental health, like separate from each other, you know? Well, I know we have talked about this on the podcast before, but just to reiterate, like, what challenges do you feel like you face with your own mental health?
Individually.
Yeah. Like, just in general, like, what challenges? Because, I mean, we all have them.
Oh, just
yeah.
The general.
Yeah, yeah, just your general. Yeah, 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 gotcha, just your gotcha. General mental health challenges.
Definitely, like, anxiety has came up in the last couple of years, which... my therapist brought to my attention that getting no sleep often triggers anxiety and depression.
Yes.
And so, you know, those are two things that I struggle with the most.
Yeah. What about you, Jinjin?
Oh, wow. I mean, I would say it would probably be anxiety as well.
I mean, I'm more anxious than depressed. I am more anxious than depressed about certain things. But I internalize
really,
it.
Really, I'm more depressed than anxious.
Yeah. I'm more anxious and I feel it like in my chest. Mm-hmm. I feel it in my stomach. Mm-hmm. Some days it is like debilitating. Very few, but there are days where I like can't get out of bed. Like physically moving. Mm-hmm. But that's just like if I'm super in my head.
Yeah.
People also think that I'm like manic, but that's just my personality. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just, you know. But... I think I'm more anxious than anything.
I feel like my anxiousness has caused me to kind of withdraw. And I think now we're talking about this and me just thinking back or even thinking now, like, I think a lot of the things that I do kind of, like, withdraw myself from people and just kind of stay at home, I think it's because, like, I'm just so anxious and I get so caught up in my head and it's like, you just got to get over yourself. But
So I know... Aisha, you just kind of talked about therapy, but how do y'all cope with y'all's mental health challenges?
Well, I think that before recently, so I do see a therapist now, but I think before recently, like, honestly, I would kind of like lean on my friends. Mm-hmm. And I think it got to a point where, I mean, they would always be there and always like be able to or always support me. But I think it got to a point where I realized that it was kind of being unfair because I felt like I was leaning on them too much and expected a lot from them. And I just think that I had to kind of like take a step back and realize like it's a lot of work that you need to do on yourself. And so I think that's when I realized like, you know, like seeking out help was probably the best thing that I probably did this year. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Therapy, like I said. But
even increasing my therapy. Like, mm-hmm. I was going to a different therapist in the spring, and I really, really liked her, but I was paying her out of pocket. Mm. And I'm like, girl, I can only see you once or twice a month. Right. And she's like, you really need to be here every week. And I'm like, I'm aware.
Right.
So now that I found someone who's on my insurance, I can go to her every week. And so I think just being able to utilize that and have that more frequently has helped. Mm-hmm. But too, I just kind of, I've learned to acknowledge it when I feel that way and not kind of just let it sit.
Like, yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm real anxious and I'm just gonna keep being anxious. Like, mm-hmm. I probably will, but I try to at least acknowledge it and see, okay, how can I calm myself down? Like, do I need to just not do shit tomorrow, and just relax, or you know, whatever. So I just try to be more self-aware and try to be more proactive in getting out of that space.
Yeah, I think talking about it with people that know that it's a problem for me is a big thing, and people who I know will say to me what I need to hear, you know, because every friend is not that friend that you can go to, but I can go to those friends. And then I created a, it's like an anxiety, like anti-anxiety, like kit that I made for myself on like what to do when I'm feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is me getting out the environment where I initially felt anxious at.
Yeah.
And different things, I have different reactions to when I'm anxious at work. Naturally when I'm anxious or I'm mad, I'm more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm at work, I'm very quiet when I'm like, you know, anxious. And it's different when I'm at home because I'm by myself, but I try to like get out of my apartment or get out of the environment because that kind of will shift my mood. Have any of these challenges occurred while y'all were in a relationship?
All the time.
Yes.
All the time, and it's heightened, like like it is bad, like it's to the max. But the thing is, I think that it's bad because I'm just in the relationship, in relationships with wrong people, and people they probably have mental health issues too, but they haven't addressed it.
I think
that's been like the biggest thing. It's just, you know, like I said, being in situations with the wrong people and people that don't acknowledge my issues and put me in positions where
it makes it worse. I can definitely relate to that. Or it's people who just have never had to deal with someone who was openly expressive about, hey, I'm really anxious, or hey, I'm actually really depressed right now,
or even just knows what that means.
Who really knows, like, what it means and what it looks like and how they can help or not help. You know, because it's like the last thing you want to tell somebody is, okay, well, just stop worrying about that shit.
Stop like, being sad.
Like, we may joke with Jenny, but
we know. Yes.
And so we will give more productive things.
Right.
We have more productive things to say, but like, if you truly don't know how to deal with someone who's having that, it's like when all the worst things that could possibly be said. And so it just makes it worse.
Yes. Have you ever had like your mental health issues be heightened because of the relationship that you're in?
Oh, yeah.
Or had them... Yeah, like, have you you realize you have new mental health issues because
that, so in the last situation I was in, like, I was to a point where like I was literally questioning my sanity. Yes, to answer your question.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I'm questioning myself, like, well, maybe I really do have like this disorder or this or that. And it's like,
I have PTSD from my relationships, and so I've been in more than one and different types of abusive relationships. They look different, but it's still abuse, none the same. So the first one was more like an emotional, I mean, it turned physical, but it was more like an emotional situation. It wasn't like he was verbally putting me down, but he was so insecure and projecting that onto me. And then of course that turned, like, of course once it starts one way it can turn, you know, another way. So there was a physical altercation, and I didn't really realize. I thought that I was fine until I got into another relationship, and I would have like these random outbursts, and I would be physical and I would fight like this person, and I'm like, this is not even me. Like, if you know me, I'm not like this at all, but certain things will blow, like, blow me up, like, you know, or certain things that people would do or my partner would do would exacerbate my anxiety. And I feel, you know, how I felt. And then the relationship that I was in right after that was more like a manipulative type of abuse. So I felt the same, you know, type of patterns, and it was just making me so anxious. And then ghosting, really, any sign of like ghosting or anything like that makes my chest like, oh my gosh, it really makes my it really makes my stomach hurt, because I've had such, I mean, I was ghosted in my last relationship, you know, like he just left, he just stopped talking. So I really have, I mean, if I already had issues with ghosting before that, but that really made it worse. So I have a lot of, actually the anxiety that I have is related around relationships. Yeah, it's like all relationship based. So yeah, it shows up a lot.
Yeah, I think, like, within when I was married to Nick, I'm pretty sure I had anxiety before that. I just didn't acknowledge it in that way. But I think that it truly came through, like, during that relationship. And a lot of it stemmed from me just being very overwhelmed when I just had too many irons in the fire. And while he can be a doer, he needs a lot of instruction. And I was in a place where I couldn't provide that. And so then I didn't feel...
sorry, my phone is ringing.
And it's ringing on my computer.
It
it's
is.
Ringing everywhere.
everywhere. Sorry, guys. Somebody's FaceTiming me.
Gosh. So, darn.
He
needed a lot of instruction. And so I was in a space where I was very overwhelmed, and I could not provide that. So because I wasn't providing it, he wasn't doing it. So I was feeling unsupported. And I was feeling like, I have to do all this by myself. And this should not be it. And so it just really, it got really, really bad. And it pushed me into a depressed state, because I was just like, I'm just doing all, I felt like I was failing. And so, that's just one way that it just really manifested in that relationship.
Which is crazy, because, and we'll get into this about your partner's mental health issues, but like, I know that they were depressed too. And but you are doing it in a totally different
way.
And so this is just becoming very, very toxic, especially when you feel like you have to do so much in that connection. I think that heightens your anxiety or your depression even more when you have issues like that. So with your mental health issues outside of your relationship, with things that, you know, that make you anxious or make you depressed, things that are triggers for you outside of you being with someone, do you share that I deal with anxiety, these things make me anxious? Do you share that with people that you're dating?
I do. I feel like I do, because I know that it's going to show up, and I want people to know how to deal with me, and not be like dismissive, or just know what I need. So, I mean, I do. Or I have.
I haven't with everyone, and I mean, I guess it depends on, of course, the level of dating.
But, yeah, if it's to a point where
if it's someone where I just know, to Jenny's point, like, you're gonna be around me, you're probably gonna see it. Yeah, I bring it up.
I think mine is so relationship based that it automatically comes up. I don't think I tell people like, oh, this triggers me, like, don't do this, because it's really not like, I don't know, it's really not things that specifically trigger me. I think like ghost ignoring me is the biggest, oh my gosh, like, if we get into it, don't ignore me. Like, just listen to what I'm saying, or if you need, if tell me I cannot deal with this right now, I need to step away because I don't want to say anything. I want to be in a better space. Like, communicate that with me. But if you straight up ignore me, blatantly ignore me, oh, you're going to see another side of me that I do not want you to see out. Because I'm going to be very irrational. So I express that to them. And then a lot of times, depending on the depth, like you said, of our dating, I do talk about, and of course, previous relationships come up, and then I have to talk about, you know, my previous relationships. And then I used to be, I didn't want to talk about them because I don't want people to be like, oh, you know, she got a lot of baggage, so I don't want to deal with her. And I'm like, no, I'm handling it well, but, you know, I just need you to know, like, just don't ignore me. I don't care what you do. You cuss me out, it'll be all right. I can handle yelling at me. Don't really bother me. It actually makes me laugh. But, yeah, don't ignore me.
Like, so I think, like, initially, I might not necessarily bring it up as in a sense, like, okay, well, I have, like, this and this or whatever, and I don't like when you do. I don't like if someone does this and this. I'll just tell somebody, like, what I expect from them or what I don't like. And then, you know, if we're ever in a situation where it occurs, and then, like, I might explain to them, okay, like, I have really bad anxiety. And so when you do A, B, and C, it heightens it.
Yeah.
So, and again, depending on the level that we're dating, you know, I only share what I want to share. But I always put it in a, I don't know, I guess I always communicate it in a way of, okay, well, this is what I need from you.
Yeah.
You know, and what I would expect.
Yeah. Would you date someone with challenges in their mental health?
I've noticed that I, ones that I really connect with, especially emotionally, we have the same trauma. And I've recently acknowledged that. And it's hard because then I get in this whole, like, protective space.
Yeah.
What I literally just said to someone was, I see a lot of me in you, and I'm literally protecting you to protect me.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but you're not responsible for me. And I'm like, sure, but I am. And so, damn, I forgot your question.
Would you date somebody with mental health?
Oh, gotcha. So, yeah. So, yeah, I have. But I've, if they're, this is going to sound kind of selfish. If they're, like, in the deeps of it, I really try not to. Especially if I'm not in a serious space with them. Because I had a boyfriend years ago who was depressed and tried to kind of gloss over it a lot, but I could see how depressed he really was, and like he was using our relationship as a happy place.
Oh yeah, that has happened to me too.
And I'm like, cool, and I like you, but I don't want this to be like your sole happy place. Like, because what happens if we break up? If something happens to you, then I feel responsible. Like, and I don't like that type of responsibility. Just like I know someone wouldn't like to have that over me.
Right. And yeah, I agree. Because I think all of the men that I have dated, like in relationships with, have all had mental health issues, like severe. But it don't really manifest itself necessarily in the beginning. It turns into other things like alcoholism or, you know, they project it somewhere else. Like one of my boyfriends, I was like maybe 19 or 20. I didn't know that his father had died of an overdose 3 months before we started dating. And oh my gosh, he was crazy. Like, outbursts and stuff like that from that. And I realized, like, I'm not one of those people that feel like I have to, like, I have to date people to heal them or just, I'm not that person. I think I attract those people, but I don't purposefully feel like I need to heal people. But what I was doing, which was a burden to myself, is I understand your trauma and why you are, you know, an alcoholic or why you are depressed. So I'm trying to understand why you're hurting me, which doesn't justify it, but I would like do that. I know that you're hurting me because of this, you know, because of childhood trauma or daddy issues or, you know, you were in foster care and you haven't dealt with that or, and it's not my responsibility to deal with it, like you said. So yeah, I have definitely brought that on and knew that because it was coming from a different place. It wasn't coming just from a place of you being evil, that I made it okay.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
I think for me,
I would say that I would if that person was putting in the work to help themselves.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if somebody like had thought, well, you know, I'm not about to go and talk to somebody and tell them my problems, if they weren't open and willing to, not that you don't have to go to therapy, but if they weren't open and willing to address it, I don't think I could, because I'm in a space where I'm addressing my trauma. I'm addressing all the issues that I feel like I have, and I want to be able to grow from that. And I feel like if you're not willing to address it, you're not going to be able to get past your problems and grow. So I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, because I think people with, and I mean, I know we talk about anxiety and depression, but, you know, there's other mental health issues. So people who are bipolar, or people who are schizophrenic, like, how do they deal with, you know, they are deserving of a good quality of life,
right?
You know, and people loving them. So I always wonder, like, you know, with them dating, how does that go? I had a friend who was bipolar. I didn't even know until I had a friend that was bipolar. I had no idea until actually I did my clinical and she was my patient. And it was, I mean, she was a definitely manic. Like, I mean, would not stop talking, was doing crazy stuff, like cut all her hair off. She said she was crying for 24 hours. Her neighbors called the police because they thought something was wrong with her.
Wow.
She was crying for 24 hours. She went to one of the libraries and was like pulling up all the, like, the cops came because she was like pulling up the leaves, I mean the flowers and stuff. She was pulling up around the library. Like, she was doing weird stuff and she just would not stop talking. Like, I mean, would not stop talking. It was so crazy. So I'm like, but other than outside of that her episodes, you know,
you wouldn't know.
So it's like, I think that people who have those issues, if they are managing them, are deserving of love. But it's like, who loves those people? Because that's hard.
Yeah. And then how can you be your full self with hiding that?
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's very difficult to, not that people have to hide it, but it's something very difficult to hide and not be out with. Like, I had someone, I forgot what it was that I posted, but you know, I post like quotes and shit I post on Twitter, and she responded, but I know it was about like anxiety and depression. It was my depression post. And so she responded and was like, I just feel so seen. Like, people, I've never met someone I'm able to openly talk to about what I go through, and she's bipolar. And I'm like, what? And I barely knew what to respond, but I'm just like, do you talk to other sisters about this? Like, do they know? Like, I just had so many questions.
Because then it's like, on the other hand, how do I protect myself if I'm dating somebody who has these issues? Because that is so heavy. That is heavy. Because when they have an episode, do you feel comfortable with dealing with this and being supportive of them? And, you know, how do you keep yourself together while this is happening?
Because I think that it's easy to be like, oh, I don't want their responsibility. That's a lot. Really, all of us are responsibilities. We're just, we're in different ways.
Show up differently.
You can't outweigh one more than the other. It's all about what you can deal with and what you can't.
And I think about that, and I feel like I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and just thinking about, you know, I might have, like, you know, very good qualities. I might have all these things, and, you know, I want someone else who have all these good qualities as well. But I think about all the things that I also come with that might not be the so good things, and just thinking about, like, not saying that someone has to be perfect, but really, like, sitting in what I have, and not saying I'm gonna sell myself short when it comes to people, but being okay if the person is, like, imperfect, you know, because there's a lot of things that people will have to accept about me, and then I have to also be able to accept the things that, you know, may not be so good about somebody else. And so just being able to kind of take a step back and humble myself a little bit.
For sure.
So what do you think are, like, at what point is it a red flag to deal with someone who has, because we all have challenges with our mental health, but at what point, you know, is your boundary. So for me, my boundary should have been them and their alcoholism, because I dated two people with problems and they did it very differently. One, it would be like, I mean, he was a very social person. His job was very social. Both people that I dated had social jobs. But one would drink like during the day, and we day drink. So it's so hard. Yeah. I mean, so easy in your 20s to mask that. Yeah. And the other one would like binge. So when we go out, they would just drink, and he is a big dude. Mm-hmm. So like,
and again, something that's not uncommon when
we
go out.
Yeah. To go out and get slapped. Mm-hmm. So, but I would see it like every day. I would see it regularly. Mm-hmm. Like, and so that should have been a boundary for me. Mm-hmm. But like for y'all, what point, you know, is their mental health or someone's mental health a red flag for you?
Oh, I don't really know. I would say probably when it gets to a point of them I think it just kind of goes back to doing things and not willing to like work on it and continuing saying that, okay, you're gonna do it, you're gonna do something, and not wanting to work on it for you and saying that you're gonna make these changes because I'm asking you to, and you don't have a desire to do it yourself.
For me, it's you're guilting me.
Gaslighting.
Like, oh well, I just must not be good for you because I'm dealing with this and I'm not good enough and or even on the, you know, broader end, if you don't want to be with me, no one's going to want to be with me, and I'll hurt myself if you don't want to stay with me.
Oh, that is so kind.
And I'm just like, what? And so many people stay in relationships and spaces because they get threatened with that, and that's not fair.
No,
like,
yeah, not at all.
Because no one's responsible for you in that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a big one. I've never had that experience, but I know so many people that have.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. I think for me, if you're projecting it onto me, not taking responsibility of it for yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, every day, like, granted, I may have like this anxiety like kid, like, you know, when I'm anxious, but I don't look at it every some days I just can't. It's just too much. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like every day you're just gonna really combat it. I'm gonna really fight this head on. Mm-hmm. But if you're like projecting it onto me and it's starting to, you know, weigh heavy on me, or if it is manifesting in other unhealthy ways, like other addictions, or one of my exes, he used to gamble a lot, and I really hid that. And my mom's husband actually caught on to it, and I don't remember how, but he said something, and I don't know, I hid that for a long time. I mean, it wasn't affecting me financially. But I noticed, like, you go play poker all the time, late at night. You know, you want me to pick you up because you have drank at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. And this is so unhealthy.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So if it is projecting into other or manifesting itself into other unhealthy patterns, then I can't deal with it at all. So on the last note, I wanted to ask you all, how would you encourage someone to share their mental health challenges with their partners or even their friends? Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to get close to your friends. Mm-hmm. But when you're dating somebody and you want to share, I am anxious or I am depressed or, you know, whatever you have, how would you encourage someone to say that?
I would probably say don't wait until you're like fully in the brunt of it. Just because you don't know how someone's gonna react, or you know, you don't know how they're gonna digest that information, and you don't want to be in a space where you can't handle their reaction.
Right.
So
that's good.
Having the conversation proactively, and like for me, like, it's come up on my anxious days, but maybe not my worst days.
Right.
I'm like, you know, I'm having trouble with this today because mm-hmm. I struggle with blah, blah, blah a mm-hmm. lot. And sometimes this really triggers me.
Yeah.
Just to give it, just so they can have it on a lighter day where I don't really need you to do anything today, but, like, you understand if it comes up again.
Yeah.
I would probably recommend just, like, starting off with educating them
mm-hmm.
and letting them, like, not assuming that they know what whatever what you're dealing with, what that means,
right.
Because some people don't know what it means, they don't know how to deal with it, and there's a stigma tied to mental health issues, and kind of just educating them and letting them know that it's not like, depending, I guess it depends on the situation or what you're experiencing, but it's not like high all the time, you know.
Yeah.
For some people it's different levels to it, and so just kind of educating them and kind of getting knowing or finding out what they know about it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and kind of just kind of like filling them in on everything else that they say that they don't know.
Yeah.
So at that point it's like you've kind of educated them, they know what it is, and at that point they can accept it or not accept it. But if they do accept it, then there's no excuse why, I'm not gonna say it's no excuse why they can't interact or kind of help you or don't allow you to get to those spaces, but I would hope that they would be able to better interact with you mm-hmm. knowing some history or background of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also would add to that a reassurance to your partner.
Yeah.
You know, like reassuring them that this is me and this yeah. is my problem, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, definitely educating them, being proactive. If I see a trigger, addressing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, with them without it being an argument, because they're not going to receive it well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But just having a conversation like, you did this and it made me feel this way and this is why.
Uh-huh.
So for me, especially when it comes to relationships, since most of my issues come from being in a relationship, at whatever point we do talk about our past relationship history, I do talk about it and
yeah.
say, like, you know, these are my problems. However, I have been to therapy, I work on it by myself, and my plan is not to project my baggage onto mm-hmm. you. And I am in a space where I can be able to be in a relationship even though I have mm-hmm. this past.
Yeah,
because we all have one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, good talk.
Yeah,
this was so good. Yeah. It was. Yeah, so if you well, of course, if you have mental health issues, you do not have to disclose with us.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you follow the Strength of She, we do talk about our mental health mm-hmm. very regularly
mm-hmm.
And self-care with that. So just keep following us for tips and tricks and our transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, Aisha has her own brand, the Aisha Rose, where she's more transparent with her story
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's good to follow that as well. And then let us know, like, how you would encourage, you know, your partner, how we should encourage our partners, mm-hmm. like, you know, how do you deal with your mental health issues and dating? Because I feel like you do not have to just be completely whole and to be completely, you know, mm-hmm. healed of mm-hmm. everything
right.
before you date, because
right.
it's going to be a constant battle. Yeah. Yeah, it's always going to be a heal.
Not to prolong this,
no, you're fine,
but to mention, like, I think that's one thing that I've been thinking in my head is, like, I feel like, and this is something that nobody's pressured me or nobody said, well, you have to be complete in order for you to date, but mm-hmm. I think that that's the pressure that I put on myself,
mm-hmm.
thinking, like, okay, well, I have to kind of be my journey of figuring
you
know
self.
Yeah, I have yeah. to be that before, you know, being able to date. But then, you know, through different conversations with people, that I realized, like, if you're dating the right person, then you don't necessarily have to be completely complete, because mm-hmm. through them they'll be able to kind of like help elevate you. So it's really depend, you know, you have to just make sure that if you're wanting to date and you don't necessarily feel like you've, you know, reach that end goal where you want to be, that it's okay, and that if you have the right person, then you all can probably help each other get there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then too, if y'all have, you know, if you're from the other side of, you know, I don't really struggle with a lot of mental health challenges, But, you know, how do I learn more? How do I support someone? If you have, like, questions or specific scenarios with that, like, definitely write us so we can have a conversation about that, too.
Yes. Or if, you know, you feel uncomfortable, you can always DM us as well. Because, you know, we'll read those as well. Good talk. So, good talk. Of course, always, you know, just keep taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Water your plants.
Yeah. Put yourself watered.
Yes. Put your oxygen mask on.
First.
Yes. This is like the fifth time Aisha has heard this.
Seriously.
It's a repeating thing. Gosh. It's a repeating thing. Okay, I'm going to just keep on talking. And we are going to hop into our segments, and we are going to be well now, you know, inhaling good shit, exhaling bullshit. Always. Sometimes I want to say the woo-saw.
Woo-saw.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about hydration. Because this is really important.
It is.
And Jenny in her notes. Because I like, there are so many ways that your body tells you that you're dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that people listen
to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they don't listen to their bodies. So I'm gonna jump right into, like, so just a mouth.
I already know this is about to piss me off.
So the biggest one for me that I know is when I have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sign, especially if you are a person who don't really suffer from routine, like headaches or migraines. Mm-hmm. A headache is a indicator that you are. If you feel dizziness or lightheadedness. I used to feel real dizzy in the mornings, or like real lightheaded when I was giving a report at my job, and I kept trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And one time I did actually pass out. And I found out it was because I was dehydrated. I wasn't drinking enough water. Of course, if you have like dry mouth or dry lips, like your skin is real, real dry or your lips are real cracked, then that means that you probably suffer from some dehydration. Muscle cramps.
Yeah.
That is a big one. Constipation is, yes.
Ooh.
If you, now granted, if you, granted, if you, you know, have GI problems or bowel problems, you know, this may be something that you regularly suffer from.
Which is also why you have to hydrate even more.
Yep. But yeah, constipation. If you aren't using the bathroom as much as you normally do, or your urine is darker than it normally is, if you are fatigued, or you just have like an altered mood, you're kind of cranky or like fuzzy thinking or something, those are like mild to moderate signs. And thirst, of course. Thirst. But like some very severe signs, which we mainly normally see more so like in the hospital, but your heart is beating real fast. That is a sign. You are breathing really fast. Your blood pressure is low. You're not really sweating when you should be sweating during certain activities, which I'm not really a sweater when I work out. I'm not really a sweater, but
not either.
Yes. Your skin is extremely dry, or you just have like complete delirium, or you're unconscious. Then you are. Like if you're passing out like me, I passed out. That is a sign of dehydration. So I know that a lot of, you know, things that you read tell you how much water that you need to drink, and it's usually like, you know, your pounds. It's usually ounces.
I don't know
so
how to do that shit. Like people always say, and I don't get it.
Okay, so if somebody weighed, so you're supposed to take your pounds,
right,
how much you weigh,
right,
cut it in half,
okay,
and that's how many ounces you should drink. So if somebody weighed 150, they need to be drinking 75 ounces of water a day.
Gotcha.
If they weigh 200, they need to be drinking 100 ounces of water a day.
I'm hit.
Yeah, I that's why I gave examples. I'm about to tell y'all my weight and how much water. But I did just buy this big old bottle, this 67 ounce. Pail of water, because I'm like, at least I'm getting 67 ounces. I need more than that, because I weigh more than 120 pounds.
But you know, it's just getting the day started. So some ways that you can make it like fun, of course, give yourself an incentive. So set like those weekly goals, do like a challenge with your friends. We used to have like a water challenge at work. Get your family involved with it. You know, Aisha loves her shakies.
I do.
So get like, you know, the little shakies.
And I have a new pack that I converted to this last year. It's True. Check them out.
I like
their
brand.
It's naturally flavored, naturally sweetened. I think it has Truvia instead of sugar, so it's a lot better for you.
Yep. So yeah, do that if you need some flavor, because you know we always do. Use a time marked water bottle. You know, like they have those water bottles we're supposed to drink before or you can create your own. I've seen people that put like different marks, different lines, and it's either like encouraging words. I saw somebody like the first line at the top was me and the last line was Beyonce or something like that, like to encourage themselves. You know, something like that, make it fun, make it motivational. Do like me, keep a large bottle of water close by, because I'm about to keep refilling that thing. And you know, the secretary of my job, she was like, no, I can't have a big bottle, I need to keep refilling. And I'm like, you know what, learn yourself and do what's best for you. If you need one of the little 24 ounces bottles, then do that. That's not for me, because I ain't gonna fill it back up. But
see, I'll fill it twice and then I drink bottles at home.
I love bottles.
I
am a bottle girl. And then I have my big pail for like work and stuff like that. Use the hydration apps, and they give you like you can set reminders.
That's what I need to start doing, because it's like I have a big bottle, but I don't know, it's just I think maybe with my job and the fact that I'm always on the go, the fact that I have the bottle helps, because I think it's like maybe 48 inches and ounces. And then I also, you know, like make sure like I keep a pack of water in my car and then a pack of water in my apartment. So that's the biggest issue for me. I love drinking water, but I just have to make sure that I have the water to drink. So
And you can add slices of fruits or veggies to give it another taste. You can you know, link drinking water to activities. So drink a glass before meals, or you know, every time you go to the bathroom, drink a glass.
I was about to say, y'all know how much I love my coffee, so like I can drink, you know, coffee all day. Like I can drink 3 cups of coffee, and I'll have to tell myself, okay, if I'm gonna drink another cup, I need to have a bottle of water before and a bottle of water after.
Those are all good tips. So stay hydrated, friends.
It's fall, but you still need to be hydrated.
All the time. Your body needs it. It helps you lose weight. You do a lot of it.
I was going to be pissed off because me and my mom literally argue about water. We argue.
But you said that they don't really buy a lot of water, right?
No, they just start buying water bottles. We did not buy water bottles when I was a kid. Like we bought pop and juice. And if I wanted water, I had to drink it out the tap. And I hate the tap water, so I never drink water.
Right.
So I was always dehydrated in the hospital, UTIs, you name it. And so now all I buy is water. I don't buy any juice or anything like that. My shakies are my juice. And so like I try to encourage her to drink water because she has all this health shit. And I'm like, girl, if you drink some more water, you'd be fine. And she, you know what she tells me?
What?
I drank a bottle today. It stresses me out. I said, let's not talk about this. She, I said, Mom, go drink another one. Okay, well, if I drink another one, I can only drink two. And I'm just like, girl.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
That's not any, that's barely 40 ounces of water.
Yeah.
Barely 40.
Yeah.
Stress. Don't be like my mommy.
Yes, drink y'all water. Drink your damn water. Drink your water. I'm going to just tweet it. When this episode come out, I'm going to be like, have y'all drink y'all water today?
Drink your water today.
Drink your water. You want me to text you? If you know me, I will text you. Did you drink your fucking water?
Start texting me that.
Yeah, I'm going to be aggressive. It's only going to work when I'm aggressive.
Well, thanks, Ty. Yeah, because we definitely need to stay hydrated.
Drink your water.
You know, you mad just getting fucked up? Why you getting fucked
up? Ooh, yep, that's another one. That's it, right?
You want your glow back? You need to hydrate.
Yes. We'll be back. have to shimmy on down.
Shimmy on down the Jenny.
Shimmy on down.
What are we
Jenny
talking about today?
Jenny on the block. Jenny on the block.
Oh.
Jenny on the block.
Yeah.
Shimmy on the block.
Ooh.
Oh, get it. Oh, get it.
Oh,
ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, oh.
So, in the BU segment today, I want to talk about how you can practice gratitude mm-hmm. to your past, present, and future self. So I feel like,
sorry, this is like my therapy manifesting. Go, go.
So I feel like when we hear about like practicing like gratitude, oftentimes it's just like, oh, well, what are you, you know, grateful for today? Or like, what are you, you know, appreciative for? And it's kind of like an outward movement mm-hmm. and it's not you really like leaning inward to think about, you know, to think about all the good stuff. I mean, all the good things are within yourself. And I think that a lot of people, you know, like people might journal, like, oh, well, journal today, you're gratitude. And that's fine. Yeah. You know, appreciating, being able to appreciate what you have in your life and the people that you have there to support you. But you also have to be able to kind of lean in and appreciate where you've come from,
yeah.
you know, where you're at right now and where you want to be and where you want to become. So do you all feel like self or practicing self gratitude, like, is that something you all do? Is it hard for you to do? Do you feel like it's necessary?
You feel like you're in therapy right now?
I have so much to say.
You yes. No, no, no.
Sister. Oh my God. So, like, I still haven't changed my name back yet. And I told like some of my friends, like, I was like, I really do not want to be Aisha blah 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 my mm-hmm. maiden name, you know, again, because mm-hmm. I just really didn't like her. Like, I was really having a lot of feelings about that, and
mm-hmm.
at first I was like kind of joking and it was kind of surface level, but you know, it's some truth behind all the jokes,
right?
And so I'm like, oh no, this might be kind of real. And so I was telling my therapist how, you know, sometimes I just was feeling like certain situations that have come up since we separated and stuff, that it wasn't the current me.
Mm-hmm.
Like making these decisions. And so we do like the type of therapy where you address your other selves, and like
yeah.
she talks.
That's deep.
She,
I remember you were telling
yes,
me that. That's
and
so
she
deep.
Literally talked to my teenage self.
Uh-huh.
But she challenged me to write a letter to the 16-year-old me, but was very specific that it needed to be a letter of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was mm-hmm. like, what? So that's why I was like, no, uh-huh. you're like, you're seriously manifesting this, just because I think that sometimes we can give our old selves so much flack.
Mm.
And flack and just a lot of pressure for different decisions that might have been made and stuff like that, when really, like, if you wouldn't have done any of that, you wouldn't be your mm. current self. And so just really learning how to even embrace, like, bad decisions and stuff like that, and being grateful for getting through that
yeah.
from the past.
Hmm. I think for me, it's so easy to be grateful for like outside things,
mm-hmm.
Or like material things,
mm-hmm.
or you know, things that I can count and that mm-hmm. are manageable,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably harder for me to say on the inside what I'm yeah. grateful for about mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I really do it as much. I think when I do express gratitude, it's about, you know, that I love my job, that mm-hmm. I'm able-bodied,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
I can eat what I want and I can live where I want and mm-hmm. I can drive what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's stuff like yeah. that. But I don't think it gets that deep where, you know, I'm talking about like my characteristics or my traits uh-huh. or stuff mm-hmm. like that. So
I think for me, I didn't start, and I feel like I'm kind of at the beginning phases of doing this, but like I didn't start doing it until this year, until I realized that everything that happened, like I wouldn't be who I am now without it. And so I can't appreciate my present moment unless I acknowledge the past. And I think when I think about the past, I think about all the bad things that happened, and like, I don't necessarily acknowledge the fact that, okay, well, I'm glad that I was able to be in the right mindset to
yeah.
even get through some of those things. Or even now, just, like, being appreciative that, you know, I'm able to, when I know that I'm thinking these thoughts, able to turn it off.
Because
mm-hmm. some people do. I mean, some people don't. They just get so deep into the negative thinking that they can't shut that off. And so I'm not appreciative. I mean, I don't think I take time to appreciate, you know, those things, those internal things about myself that is important and that is who I am. And I think sometimes when I get to a point where I'm questioning, like, well, like, who am I? Like, what type of person I want to be? Like, who do I want to present myself as? And I, like, think about, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, just going through therapy and, like, processing some of those things with my therapist, like, just being able to identify, like, I have all of these, like, values and all these things that I didn't, it's not that I didn't know I had, but I guess I don't think about. And just being able to really lean into those things and cherish them.
Definitely.
So, yeah. So just some benefits of being able to, you know, practice it towards, like, yourself is just being able to shape a better positive relationship. And it just, like, kind of going back to the what we were talking about, like, mental health, just being able to promote a more stable, like, mental health space. Because, I mean, a lot of people experience trauma, they experience a lot of bad things, and it's hard to pull yourself out of those things. You know, it's so easy just to dwell in the negativity and to dwell in, well, this happened to me. And sometimes, honestly, I feel like, well, it's not fair. Like, why do I have to be the one to pull myself out? You know, like, why do I have to be the one to do this when, you know, other people can just live their life and just not have to acknowledge it? But I also have to be able to appreciate the fact that I have the ability to get past it. So just, you know, just taking time to appreciate just the little things about yourself and being able to, you know that those are really good qualities that not everybody has. And then also just kind of just identifying those, you know, small and big accomplishments, even when other people can't or don't. Again, like, you always have to be that person that's going to be your biggest cheerleader, because there's going to be times where you're feeling like you're in the pits and you may not have nobody to kind of, you know, pick you up. And so you have to, you know or be able to have the ability to pick yourself up. And most people don't. So another thing that's, like, if you're able to do that, that's big. So just a few ways that you can do it, which Aisha kind of mentioned, or we've kind of mentioned, one is just journaling, but not necessarily, as I mentioned, thinking about what somebody else did for you, or not thinking about the materialistic things, but just thinking about what are you appreciative for, like, within yourself, like, what qualities are of you that you're happy about. And then just practicing, like, thank you, you know, accepting a compliment or accepting a, no, not practicing thank you, but when someone says thank you, accepting that thank you and not, like, you know, dismissing it and making it seem like, oh, well, that's just, like, something small. I know that I have trouble with them. Like, oh, that's not nothing. You know, I, that's something I do. Oh, you know, just owning, you know, what, where you're at right now and, like, just, you know, being glad or happy about that. And then, I mean, you kind of already mentioned, like, writing a letter to your, you know, past, present, and future self. But just being able to, and when you write those letters, or even when you are addressing or acknowledging those people, don't necessarily think of those people as, like, separate people. Like, you, like, that's just part of you. And I think I have issues doing that,
accepting that that's a part of you,
and being able to know that, okay, well, even though I have all these bad things, like, I'm still who I am now, like, you know, I'm still a good person, I still have these core values, I still have yada yada yada, and I can also accept and still be that person even though I have all those bad things. And I think that's something that I've struggled with a lot. It's like knowing, like, how can I be who I want to be with everything else that I've been
through. Remembering that.
So, yeah, I mean, that's really it. I mean, unless y'all have anything that you wanted to add to that.
No, I can't even get that deep today. That's the, I think those are good, good starts of practice. Especially if you're not used to acknowledging, those different parts of you.
Because it's kind of uncomfortable, like, having to tap into that. But the more regularly that you do it, then that's when you reach those depths, you know, those super self-aware
things. I was just about to say, just knowing yourself and understanding yourself.
It takes a while to get there. It takes a long time, but you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
We shimmy into me.
Yeah, we are, baby.
Yeah, baby.
We be in love today. Be in love.
Are we?
Oh, I don't know what we're talking about. So maybe we aren't.
That brings the question, because I something I've recently addressed was my insecurity in truly knowing my feelings.
Mm.
Like, we're all in therapy right now, so y'all gonna hear this a lot of times. But like, my therapist literally asked me, well, did you love this person or were you just infatuated?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I think I love them. And she was like, are you sure? What did you love about them? And I hadn't asked myself this about this person in years. And so, like, really having to say, oh, well, I love this, this, and this, and this, and this. And she's like, okay, cool. So then why did you love this person? And I'm like, total opposite things. This, and this. And so, like, it put me in a space of, okay, well, did I love this person? Did I not? Like, what were actually these feelings? To take it a notch deeper, I ended up saying, like, I didn't grow up in a house where we said I love you. Like,
yeah,
we didn't.
Yeah.
And so, although, and there were plenty of times that I questioned that in my home. And so I'm like, maybe I don't know what that fully looks like or should feel like. And I know it should feel different for everybody, but like, how do y'all know when you're in love with somebody versus infatuation versus something else? Like,
so I've never been in love.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that I've ever been in love. Like, seriously, I don't think so. Because, and granted, prior to me actually dating, like, now, and because there was a period of time, I think between like 19 and 24 that I was single. And so as I'm like elevating myself and establishing, like getting into my career and in school, I think I had a very false view of relationships and what they're supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And I thought that, oh, because I'm just this prestigious girl, then my relationship should reflect that, which they should. But like, I was just not being realistic about what I thought it should look like.
Yeah,
I wasn't realistic about, like, okay, love, and that after a certain amount of time, like, y'all got to be real, real deep into it
for you
to be loved.
Yes.
But now you can love people in different ways. You can love people at different times. You can love someone and have love for them very soon.
Yeah.
Or it could gradually take time. Yeah, yeah. So the relationships that I've had have been bad, like real, real, real bad.
Yeah.
So I don't, and they were not reciprocal. I think that, like, the people have told me that they love me and I love them back, but one of my relationships, I think that he loved what I represented for him.
Yeah.
Because I was a girl who, I'm a nurse, I have my degree, I'm in a sorority, I'm doing she's. So he liked that.
Those things.
Yes. Yeah. And I think my last relationship, I think he loved what I did for him, because I was always doing
nurturing
things for him all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was a me thing. Yes.
Yeah, like, you love me.
Yes.
Versus,
and I think that I loved having someone around,
but
not them.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So gotcha. I've never been in love. I just told somebody that. And they didn't believe me. I'm like, yes, I'm almost 30. I've never been in love, but it's fine.
How about you?
I mean, I've told people that I've loved them, and I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think I love somebody, but I don't know if I've ever been in love. Because it's like, are you able to be in love with somebody who's not in love with you? Like, is that really love?
See, and for me, I feel like it has to be reciprocal.
I don't think nobody's ever been in love with me.
I think the same thing.
So,
yes.
I don't know.
I think it has, for me.
And yeah, I think, for me too.
I have gotten out of these relationships, and I'm reading a lot of books about love.
Yeah.
Bell Hooks, she's a great African-American artist. I'm literally reading a book called Communion, The Female Search of Love. And she literally talks about that. And she has a book literally called All About Love. And it just dissects
love and how we view it.
I think I'm trying to turn her on my audiobooks.
But yes, I'm reading these things and I'm trying to define it because I've defined, okay, this is what I, when I'm manifesting my man, these are the qualities, very specifically what I want him to have. Because with my last relationship, I got in it because he was pursuing me. And I thought that because he was heavily pursuing me, that I should have went for it.
But I
think he was pursuing me for, you know,
the things that you ended up off.
And not just me. But because I'm like, oh, you know, we hear, oh, a man's supposed to pursue you. He was pursuing me. So I went for it.
Right.
And I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. So now I'm trying to define what I think love looks like to me. And I think reciprocation is a part of it. I really do. Now, we may not feel it at the same time. I do know that, too, on a different level.
Yes.
We may not feel the same things at the same time. And that is perfectly okay. But at some point, it has to be reciprocal for me.
Yeah, I think that's like the whole reciprocal thing. That, I mean, I feel like people say that they loved me before, but it was honestly after. I feel like I didn't, I've never for I've never beat it out of somebody but I feel like it was never like it was just never like willingly like said most of the time, I feel like, or like kind of given. Like I don't think it was really ever, I don't know, I've never felt like it was as reciprocal as I wanted to be. I feel like I was like over the half mark line, the person was just, I feel like I was like 75 and the person was like 25. So it was never 50-50.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm still feeling through all of mine. I'm still learning how to answer that for myself. I definitely think that I've had people that I've been in love with or whatever. And who have been in love with me, but I think, they were for time periods. And so then that leads into my second question. Do you think that you can fall out of love with somebody?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think especially like if you, if the person is showing up as a certain way and then it changes for the worse in a sense of, or they change completely from what you want in someone, then yeah, you can. And if they're not giving you the things that you need to keep going, because like I feel, I mean, love isn't like something you just happens and it stays that way. Like you have to continuously pour into somebody. And once you stop that, I mean you can always have love for somebody, but I think that you can definitely like fall out of love with somebody, because if they stop pouring into you, it's kind of like I don't have that to keep going, to keep feeling that love and feeling.
I was gonna, you said something that I always say about love, and I always say love is a choice. So you're gonna do things, you know, people say like love is a verb, but I feel like it is a choice. Like granted, yes, there are feelings attached to it, but you know, if I love you, I feel like I am going to nurture you in your growth. And I feel like I can care about you, and some people I may care about from a distance, but I'm not choosing to do those things that help nurture you on all aspects of life, whether spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I'm not gonna do that. You know, and you are different people at different stages of life. So you know, people will be like, you know, I always have love. Nope, I'm not gonna always have love for those people, you know. I acknowledge what you were at that time in my life, and I am moving on.
See, I don't think you can fall out. You know, not when you're really in it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I ain't never been in it.
Right. Right. So our perspective is different.
Yeah. I think that, that, you know, if you feel like, oh, if people say, oh, well, I fell out of love with you, then you really need to go back and look. Okay, did you really love me to begin with?
Yeah.
Did you truly love me to begin with, or was just, oh, I have love for you. You know, I love you at a friend level. I love you at a, I care about you a lot level. Like, you know, it's not just surface, but like actually being in love. Because the few I've been in love with, I'm still in love with them. I don't think that that'll ever go away.
What do you define as being in love?
Like, how do you know?
Like, what does that mean for you?
That's what I'm still defining for myself and sifting for myself. But you said, what does it mean for me?
Yeah.
Like, what does it feel like?
Yeah, or like, how do you like? How would you describe it? Like you being in love with someone?
How you
like,
were at what, that point?
Like, because even within, it does not matter what has transpired. It does not matter how much time has passed. I see this person again. I interact with this person again. Engage with them again. It's like nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened. The feelings are still there. We pick up right where we left off. Versus other connections where they could have also been strong connections too. But I see them, I was like, oh, what up? Like, how are you? Like, it's not on the same level of, from a heart standpoint.
I don't know. I've had situations where like bad shit happened, but when we reconnect, it's like it never happened, but I still don't. I don't have the exact same feelings. Like
right,
I feel
that's
like
what I'm saying. It's apparent.
Yeah,
it's apparent.
See, I thought. About somebody, or I thought like somebody was my soulmate, and then I just realized that we just keep getting connected because we're both available at the same time, and it's so easy for us to just go back
and see,
into
we don't
that.
Be available either.
Well, okay, I know who you're talking about, but. Yes.
Anyway,
I do know who you're talking about. That's not important though.
But I think that I'm also a person who doesn't believe that you have one soulmate.
Me too.
Definitely have multiple, and they just come in different parts of your life.
Yeah,
and they fulfill whatever that journey
that.
Part is for you. So this kind of goes into what I actually want to share.
She still didn't say what it was. She said falling. Like, how do you know? Like, when you first hit that
feeling.
But see, feelings are flaky.
I know.
So that's why I'm like, I can't associate that.
In love?
When you first hit the point. Or like, how do you realize, oh, I'm in love with that person? Because granted, it's a feeling.
Yeah.
Lust feels real good. Yeah. And infatuation feels real good, too.
Same.
And it's real good, you know, when it's real good.
Right.
I think love hurts different, too. For me.
Because I always say love doesn't hurt.
Uh-huh.
You know, people do. I don't.
When I love somebody for real, and that hurt feels different.
You hurt, but I don't think it's the love.
Uh-huh.
No,
you know
because,
what I mean?
Should love hurt? I mean, I guess love can hurt. It can.
It can hurt, but I'm saying I can have the exact same situation or scenario that may happen between two different people. It may feel completely different for one person than the other.
Right,
because my emotions are
You're
way
invested.
Deeper and I'm invested for this person more.
Yeah.
It just feels a lot different.
Yeah.
I'm still working on how to really verbalize that.
Because that is hard.
It's hard to verbalize.
To define. Yeah.
And I think it looks different, you know, for everybody. But kind of what I want to talk about was as we kind of go through life, journey through life, if you have had multiple people you've been in love with, and like I've already said, I don't believe that you can fall out of love with people. How do you manage like having multiple past connections of love that don't necessarily go away? And so, why are you looking at me like that?
Okay, because I'm about to... No, because I'm about to make y'all laugh.
What?
So, and I know he can hear me, so he's probably listening to me say this, but we have this thing where we say, it's happening. Like, oh, you're falling. No, it's happening. So that's all that I can think of now. That's all that I can think of. It's happening. You're falling for me. It'd be real random. It's happening. So that's the first thing that I think about because it's so fucking funny to me.
Oh, my God.
Because it's happening. But anyways, how do you manage that? That's... Are you asking?
I mean, not necessarily.
So
but did you have a question?
I was just going to ask if you can restate your question. Like, how can you
when
say
you
how
have
do you
multiple,
manage?
Yeah, past connections that you were in love with, and that doesn't go away. How do you continue to manage those connections, help, you know, in a healthy way as you continue to move forward in life? And
I don't know. I feel like if they were meant to be, then they would be happening.
Well, no, like it's not about that. That's
Like, after y'all have broken up or whatever, y'all aren't together anymore, but y'all still may be in contact. And it may not be regularly. It may be, oh, we have, you know, reconnected somehow, you know. Oh, you wrote me on social media, or you text me, and now we're at a period of time where we're, like, texting. And then we
It real, like, surface level. I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, maybe I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I have, like, you know, conversations with previous, like, situations, but I'm, like, very disconnected from it. It's like we have the conversation and that's just what it is. But I think that looked a little different for me before, because what I would do is I end up getting back in the situation. But I think that that was unhealthy for me. You know, that's something that I didn't want to continue. And so I just keep things real surface level when the connections or the people may, you know, re-arise in my life.
Okay, let me just jump into my tips.
Okay.
So, quickly, not to not acknowledge what you just said, but let me jump into them just to give you context. So, with managing, like, multiple past love connections that haven't went away, haven't dissolved, first, I think you definitely need to get closure. And closure looks different for everybody, and we've talked about this closure thing before, especially, and I think for me, with people who I've really been in love with, a lot of the times it just cut, it was just done very quickly, or I feel like they just completely bailed on the situation, and then that was it. And so we didn't really have a discussion, we didn't really have an end, or a, okay, this is it type of conversation. So I think that that's important. What, Jenny?
I just feel like when it comes to certain things, it's just real black and white. Like, it's hard for me.
I'm the same,
like,
way.
I feel like when it comes to those connections, like, I don't think I've ever had multiple connections with the same, like, not with the same people, but multiple connections
with people, like, from your past.
Yeah, like, where I needed to, like, I've never had to, like,
you just said that sometimes you go
I'm saying in the past I did, like, when it wouldn't be like multiple connections, like, all at the same time, like, it would be me dealing with, like, one person.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you said managing multiple connections,
like, no, but, like, okay, so
sorry, I'm literal.
No, so for me, the people that I usually, like, we previously had a thing, right, and then somehow you come back around, like, when we matched each other on Tinder, it'd be real random shit like that, you know, when I was on Tinder for the day that I was on there. But,
or we see each other in a bit,
like, or like social media,
or interact with them. How do you manage still carrying space for that person without going back to that person? Because you don't need to go back just because you have love for them, or you're still in love with them, or anything like that, because that doesn't mean that y'all need to be together. So that's what I mean by multiple. It's not that you're engaging with that person, but let's say that you interact. How do you manage from a healthy space being disconnected, but yet your heart is still connected? Does that make more sense?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense, but, like, like, I feel like where I'm at now, like,
Jenny,
I don't
just
care.
Have this problem.
Like, I don't really either.
It's like, I mean, if I see you out, because that's happened. If I see you out, oh, hey, how's it going? How you been? Good, good. And then it's the end.
See, mine are different.
No, mine
it's
are like,
we see each other, and it's, oh, I haven't seen you, and oh, now we in each other inbox.
So
and,
it's
oh,
happened
now
like
you're
that.
At my
it's
house.
Happened like yeah, that before.
Yeah. Whoa,
it's happened like that before for me, and I think that I got to a point where it's like, okay, I don't want that, because it's always been unhealthy. And it's like, for me, I feel like if I've moved on from you, there's a reason why we're not talking. And so I kind of use that reason to stay disconnected now.
Okay, so I'm not talking to Jenny. I'm talking to the people.
You ain't talking to me either.
I'm talking to the people who are still dealing with this. Or is that my whole point is, then to your point, you may not really love them like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, well, I mean, I guess I understand what you're saying. I think that you would have to decide what would be a healthy way to deal with it. I mean, if it's getting
that's
individual closure.
That's what I'm trying to share right
well,
now.
I know. Okay, do you want me to? Okay, I'll be quiet now. Are you done? I'm sorry.
Okay, so, like, so, great example. I was married. I did love Nick. I probably still do. I didn't necessarily want to get divorced, but that is where we are. Mm-hmm. And so how do I manage carrying that for him? We're going to continue to engage with each other. We're going to continue to see each other. That won't necessarily, I'm not in control of that going away, is what I'm saying. And so how do you continue to have children? Okay.
No, I get what you're, I definitely get what you're saying. I also get what you're saying too, because sometimes you are in spaces where you do, I mean, one with, regardless of you having a child together, regardless of that, you did, you know, have a life together. So if you choose, like y'all, if you feel like y'all can have a healthy relationship, because you, it wasn't, you know, a bad split for you, you know, I think you are in that right. And how do you navigate that? We once were together, we once were in love. I still want to, whether you choose or not to, I still want to be connected to you in a certain type of way. How do you manage that? That's what she's asking.
Right.
For us, it has been like, for me, the people that I have been cyclic with are people that I wasn't really in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. So there was like no hard stop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we didn't have a relationship, but there was like no defined title. So at some point in time, I just chose not to rekindle those.
Yeah.
Because again, when there's no hard stop, for me, it's easy to just pick it back up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for the people that I was in a relationship with, I don't really, I'm not a person that goes back. Y'all know me. I don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the last two relationships that I was in, I did get closure from them. The first one, it took many years.
Yeah.
We had a conversation. And I didn't tell a lot of people because that was the one who was abusive. But for me, that was so important because I carried 2 years of, you know, everything. Feelings.
Yeah.
And then when he told me how he was apologetic, that was freeing for me, and we didn't have to have a conversation again.
Mm-hmm.
My last ex, I just could not get over the fact that somebody just left me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it just was so weird to me. So then we didn't really like rekindle, but we became cool again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the opportunity to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I needed that space to cut that off. So I know that it's far away from your point, but you're saying like, when you do, you know, y'all live in the same city, y'all in the same age group.
Mm-hmm,
how do you manage that when y'all see each other out? We go into the same functions, you know,
mm-hmm,
or we are, enough time has passed and something bad has happened, but now y'all can still talk.
Yeah. I've just heard other people, aside from myself, heard other people who said, I still love so-and-so.
Right.
But this was so long ago.
Right.
How do I deal with this?
Yes.
And I know that I still love this person.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to move on and have other healthy relationships.
Yeah.
But I still love this person.
Yeah.
Some people truly believe, oh, well, just stop loving them.
Yeah.
When you stop loving them, then you can go and move on.
Yeah.
But for some people, it's not that simple.
Right.
Because you still carry
that. Yeah.
You.
It's not very black and white all the time.
So that's what I'm talking about. So just make sure that once, however your relationship ended, or whether it was a long time ago, whatever, that you find some type of way to have a closure point.
Yes.
And have, and whatever that looks like. So have
right.
a closure point. Definitely embrace your feelings that you have. Like, don't try to cover them up and, you know, or ignore them, because then I think that's when you end up going back. Because then they start to manifest and different things can, situations can present themselves, and you're like, oh, cool, like I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of been like ignoring this feeling that I've
right.
had. But also know that you can go and have other healthy relationships, although you may still be carrying some other people with you and that with you, and just kind of continue to heal from those things as you kind of move on at the same time.
I think the biggest thing is going to be, like you said, like when you start to feel those feelings, because I mean you had once cared about this person. Yeah, you may have those feelings, but it doesn't mean that you need to act on them. I mean, just acknowledge them, and that's just what it is. But for whatever reason, know that you want, like, whatever reason this situation didn't work, and you know that, yeah, you love this person, yeah, you may care for them, but there's other things that you need and this person didn't provide. And so just know that I want and need more, and that person wasn't able to do it. And so maybe I feel like that could possibly help, you know, acknowledging what it is that you need and knowing that, yeah, you love this person, but you can't, you know, that person can't give you what you need. For whatever reason.
I agree. That's all I got.
That's good.
It's good, you know. If you still interacting with people that you love, or even if you don't interact with them, because regardless of whether you see them or not, you may still feel a way, and you know that is okay. But you know, let us know how you are managing that with people that you. Even when you're dating new people,
right?
You know, because now, like, I me being, you know, 30-ish, you know, I realize and acknowledge that a lot of people that I may date will probably have children. Mm-hmm. So how do I remain confident in myself, you know, mm-hmm. and knowing that they have this path, they created life with somebody else before mm-hmm. I came along. Mm-hmm. So how do I remain confident in knowing my place mm-hmm. with you mm-hmm. and you properly navigating that relationship without disrespecting me?
Right, right.
So that's like one of those things.
Yeah. I had to ask this guy recently. I was like, you know, do you have bad feelings? Like, cause she has been reaching out, like trying to get him back. And I was like, you know, I really want you to make sure that you're fully dealing with this.
Right.
You know, like right. I can't impede on that. That's a you and her thing. And you know, you kind of speak from a hurtful place still.
Yes.
And are you not wanting to be with her because you're hurt, or you're not wanting to be with her because you don't want to be with her? Because those are two different things. Mm-hmm. And so just being very honest about that even too.
Ooh, that's some good stuff. That was kind of deep.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah. Whole episode.
Yeah, it was a deep one.
Yeah.
It did get a little dark, a little in heavy. Here. Well, Jenny, close us out with some she-spiration.
So I feel like this is going to be perfect for everything that we pretty much talked about. But just remember that your mentality is your reality, and that, you know, if you decide to be happy, nothing can make you unhappy. But if you choose to be unhappy, then nothing can make you happy.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, thanks for listening with us, you know. You can tweet us, interact with us. We love your comments.
We do.
So tweet us at @shenanigans_pod. Mm-hmm. Keep following the Strength of She at Strength of She.
If you're listening to us, post it on your IG stories. Yes. Tag us so you know you're listening.
Yes. You know, follow our Instagram at @shenanigans_pod. Same name. Yes. But we love y'all interacting with us, and we love y'all comments. And we will, you know, be back very, very, very soon. Bye.
Bye. Love y'all.